you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, September 30th, 2016. Jason, tomorrow's going to be October. Can it be?
It can, and it is.
The reality is crashing down on me. Actually, I know what happens in October, especially October 2nd. It's Holly's birthday, so I'll be about town today making sure I have a couple surprises in store for her.
Oh, she's lucky.
Yeah.
Your surprises, that's like loaded. What are you going to get her, a horse?
Yeah, that's right. I'm definitely going to horse around, so quick few updates before we finally finish up. And I don't want to say finally, because it's been a great study these 2+ years, but we're down to our last, three verses in Acts, and we're in the very last chapter, chapter 28, and we'll complete this 2-year-plus study through this book, and excited about that. But three quick updates. The Great News Radio wardrobe is expanding. We picked up a number of polo shirts and actually 2 sport coats that'll have the Great News Radio logo on it. And why I share this with the listeners, because a number of the shirts are for me and Holly and Jim Gunther, that's been working so hard at the Great News Radio Center. I thought I would gift him a couple shirts with the logo and the worker pocket on that kind of polo shirt. He likes those. But if anyone else has maybe a favorite shirt or a coat or something and they want one of 2 options where it says WGNN and WGNJ, and then there's a line, and then under that it says Great News Radio. If they want that embroidered on something, or the full old-fashioned radio logo and WGNN, WGNJ, Great News Radio, it's a larger, and it includes the logo. That's $7, the other is $4. So if somebody says, hey, Mark, I have 3 shirts I would love for you to embroider with Great News Radio on it, we can have that done. And just know that the smaller WGNN, WGNJ, Great News Radio is $4, and the logo, the full logo in WGNN, WGNJ is $7. But if that's something that you're thinking, gosh, I'd love to have that on this special shirt or something, a gift to my husband or friend or neighbor or whatever, at some point you could maybe drop it off at the Great News Radio Center. We'll figure out how to work that out. But you'll see me in that apparel, as you've known, Jason, through the many years of visiting me here. I dress for radio. Now I'm going to actually be in a studio where I'll have to present myself to people earlier in the morning. And so I already have thought, you know, wardrobe change is now needed. Even a couple sport coats. So those will be kind of fun to wear, especially if I'm asked to speak at an event or a certain occasion, to have a sport jacket. I have 2 different sport jackets now with the logo on it. So kudos to Middendorf Creations out of Leroy. And we picked up all those things yesterday. And in fact, Chuck Schweitzer, one of the singing men, the reason why I announced this to everyone is he said, hey, I have this nice shirt. I'd love to have the Great News Radio logo on it. And so he dropped one off to me yesterday at the center, and I took it to Rosie over at Mittendorf, and she said, sure, I can do that. Let's see, that's the full logo. It'll be $7. And because I think there's like 9,800 stitches or something. So that's how they price it out. So it's a lot of stitches in our logo. So anyways, kudos to Mittendorf Creations. Also, a little shout-out, Davis Electric. We got our electrical inspection passed by the city of Urbana yesterday. So they came in, looked at the outlets, tripped a few of the breaker switches to see if the exit signs would light up in the event of an emergency or an issue. And they all worked. And so that was done. Now, I think we'll have the building inspector in the next week or two. Jim's still finalizing a few things, but Davis Electric met the specs and did a great job. And then finally, I didn't get to mention this the other day, but Sherman Williams, actually Ed Keen over at the Mattis store, and then Jeff Volkler at the Urbana store on Vine Street, one donated like 5 gallons of primer and the other 3 gallons of paint. And so a shout out to Sherman Williams at those 2 locations for providing free of charge the primer and the paint that we needed for our center. So that was kind of a neat little gift on, you know, their behalf. So wow. So a lot of things coming together. Spent some time at the center yesterday. Still blown my nose a few too many times, but feeling much better and have to be ready for the racquetball league that starts on Monday night. So it's like, Lord, please help me get healthy quick. And I think prayers are being answered. And I was actually even moved some firewood out in the yard yesterday. So starting to feel much, much better.
Excellent.
And I'm always feeling much better when we get to turn to this book of Acts. And there's been so many points of application these past few years. But maybe pray up our last session, and maybe we can talk a little about where God might lead us in the days ahead. So next Friday, people can maybe even be primed a little for something.
Father, we just thank you for this book that you inspired, that it is your inerrant word, Father, that you spoke through Luke as he penned this to tell us how the church grew, what the church does, and what the church is called to be. And Father, we thank you that through the whole counsel of God, we can not only know what our calling is, but we can be encouraged, and we can gain endurance, and we can be sure and be emboldened to do the things that Jesus called us to do. And so, Father, we want to be all about your business. We want to be about the business of sharing the good news of who your son is. Father, we live in a world that's full of bad news. And, Father, the only way you counter bad news is with good news, with great news, with the greatest news ever, which is the news that Jesus Christ came into humanity, that he emptied himself of divinity, that he came down and he touched us, that he might change us, that we would see him, that we would know him, that we would love him, that we would accept him, that we would be transformed by him, and that we would reach out and touch others. So, Father, we pray as we just look at these last three verses that you would do a work in us. You would do a work that would change our hearts, that would move us to mission, that would make us more like your son. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hey, quick tangent, sidetrack. Let me derail you before you get started. Is it a derailment if you didn't even get a chance to get started?
Yeah, kind of.
Did you hear Janet Parshall's program yesterday between, I think, 4 and 5 p.m.?
I did, and I was running between appointments, but what did she have to say?
Well, she had this guy on from England, or I think somewhere in England, and so he had that great, like, Alistair Begg accent. But he wrote a book, basically it was about sharing Christ and how you not only feel compelled to do it, but you do it with great energy and enthusiasm, and they should see Jesus all over your face because you're so excited to talk about him. And I was thinking as you prayed, you know, that we are compelled because we're enthusiastic and we have the greatest news to proclaim, and we're compelled to do it because he calls us to do it, but we want to do it because it's the only message that can bring healing and hope. And so he just was very enthusiastic in how he loves to share with the unchurched or the churched and get people fired up about the hope that we have, the only true hope. And so he was really good, but it reminded me of some of the things you were praying, and I thought, oh, you maybe heard that, and it influenced you some, but I have to find that book. It's a great name. It was two names, and his story, as Janet asked him how he came to Christ, he was like 16 or 18 years of age, and he didn't like Christians. But he kind of came to Christ, but he said, I'm not going to tell anyone I'm a Christian. And then these two people that were leaving a classroom in front of everyone, they were going to some kind of Bible study, and they turned back, and he doesn't even know why they asked him to go. But they said, like, in front of everyone, hey, do you want to join us to say this Bible study? And everyone started snickering in the classroom because they all just figured no way was he a Christian. And he knew it was a turning point because he knew he had this faith, but he said, I can't hide it any longer. And it had something to do with, like, an enthusiasm. It was a two-word line. And from that point on, he always looked back at, that's what he wants to do when he proclaims Christ. Do it, like, enthusiastically or passionately. And that was kind of a neat story. But anyways, you kind of fit along the lines of that individual, that where you're compelled, whether you're in line or you're at a gas station or you see somebody walking by. I mean, you pray for those divine appointments. But you also intentionally seek them out to say, Lord, you have me here. Here's an individual. I'm sure they have some needs. Can we weave into the conversation this good news message? And so you're very intentional, and I appreciate that about you and how you share your faith.
You know, the Bible tells us that Christ compels us. And so, you know, we ought to be. And I think when it says Christ compels us, for us it's by the power of the Holy Spirit, which is really fits in with the book of Acts, because that's what the book of Acts is. In fact, I call it, you know, the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because it's everybody in the book of Acts is powered by the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting, the last three verses that take us to the end of our study, it says, therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. They'll hear it. That's what he's saying. They will hear it. One thing about Paul is that he is so sure that people are going to hear the gospel. He is so sure of this message. And I think that one of our problems, one of the great problems of the church, is that we are not sure of the message. We need to be sure of the message. We need to have a picture of Jesus Christ in our mind and in our heart and ever in front of us, to where we are so sure of who he is that when we get around people, the very fact that we believe that he is not only able, but we believe he's worth it. You know, when I read books like the book of Ephesians or the book of Colossians, which I've been reading recently in some disciple-making relationships I have with some folks, I just read those and I think, this elevates my, when Paul gets on a run here, it elevates my view of Christ. It makes me see Christ. It makes me see him above all other things. And I can't help but want to talk to people about Jesus Christ, because he is our all in all. And that's what the book of Acts is. So Paul says, they will listen. And then he says in verse 30, he lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him. And what did he do when they came to him? Did they watch TV together? Did they, you know, read the latest magazines together? Did they talk about the weather? Did they go out to the local pub? No. It says, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with what? All boldness and without hindrance. Those are the last words of the book of Acts. The book of Acts ends with the Apostle Paul teaching and proclaiming the word of God with all boldness and without hindrance. It's because he believed it. He believed it. And that's what the book of Acts is all about. It's about how believers in Jesus Christ, powered by the Holy Spirit, moved out and began to share the good news of Jesus Christ. When we look at the very first chapter of Acts, 2 years ago, he said, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. So everything is by the sovereign authority of God. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit, so it's the acts of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the mechanism by which we can do all things, has come upon you. He comes upon us, which means he's in us, which means he fuels and powers us. And you will what? Be my witnesses. So we will testify in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And that's the book of Acts. The first 7 chapters is all about Jerusalem. The second chapters between 8 and 11 are witnessing in Judea and Samaria. And then chapters 12 through 28 is to the ends of the earth, to the reaches of the known world at the time. And so the book of Acts, when Jesus says, you will be my witnesses, he's telling the truth. They are going to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth in all those places. And so, you know, we have to, as a church, I think we have to do 3 things. You know, when I was thinking about our time in the book of Acts and what we've learned in that, there were 3 things that I really pulled away from the book of Acts. You know, based on those last verses, being that we're supposed to be, as the church, without hindrance and with all boldness, proclaiming the gospel and teaching about who Jesus Christ is. You know, when in the first chapter of the book of John, when the first disciples are made, you know, they come and John comes and he sees Jesus, and some of his disciples come along and they go, who is this guy? And he says, well, come and see. And then it's fascinating. They're sent out and it says, go and tell. And then they find somebody else and they say, come and see. And so it's about coming and seeing who? Jesus Christ. And then going and telling what? Jesus Christ. Now, here's the problem I think that sometimes we have. Is sometimes maybe as churches, we get wrapped up in kind of moral teaching, you know, how things can be better in our lives, how things impact our lives, when our job is to show people the majesty and the glory of Jesus Christ, so that when they leave to go tell, they have something worth telling. So that they have something when they leave that is undeniable. When they go out and they begin to tell their friends, you know, gosh, we were going through the scripture in the Bible, you wouldn't believe what it said about Jesus Christ. You wouldn't believe how I see Christ. You know, I think of all the times that I've gone to a great restaurant or I've seen a great movie, and I've, even with you, Mark, I've come to you and I've said, oh my gosh, you got to see this movie. It was really great. And just kind of the excitement that I have from it, it becomes contagious. And pretty soon you're like, well, what was the name of that movie again? I want to see that movie. You know, I wonder if we go with that same kind of contagious excitement about Jesus Christ, so that when somebody says, who was that you were talking about again?
Yeah.
Who was that? Jesus? What? Tell me about him.
Yeah.
Tell me about him. And isn't that the first chapter of the book of John, when Nathaniel says, he told me everything about myself. He knew. Why? Because Jesus knows everything about us. And so we need to have a picture of Christ that is worth telling. So there were three things when I looked at the book of Acts, thinking about what did we learn over this time. And it really comes out of Acts 2:42. And first of all, was that the church was upward. Consistently throughout the book of Acts, the church is worshiping. It says in 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were upwardly focused. Throughout the book of Acts, Paul is praying. Paul is seeking. Paul is glorifying God. He's facing upward. He's painting a picture for people of who Jesus is. I got to think that every time Paul shared the gospel, it was like worship. Because he was so pointed, so fixed upward on who Jesus Christ was. And so I think as the church, we need to be pointed upward, because love and worship have always been the highest aspiration, the highest priority for God's people. You know, I met with somebody this week, and it was really kind of interesting. They said to me, they proposed this thought that they've been having about Shema statements. Now, for those who don't know, the Shema is Deuteronomy 6. And in Deuteronomy 6, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." And so it's a thing that Jews say three times a day when they go to the temple at three different times during the day in Jesus' day. They would say this thing called the Shema. And it was always meant to bring us back to understanding that everything is God, that everything about everything comes from God, it is about God, and we should thank God for it. Because "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." What does that mean? He's one. He's one with everything. He has created all things. The Bible tells us that all things are connected to Christ in the book of Colossians. And so here, everything is connected. So these Shema statements, it would be like if you came over to my house, Mark, and you said, "Well, you have a really nice house." And I would say, "Praise God, you know, it wouldn't be possible without it."
Mm-hmm.
Or we sit down to dinner and we pray before dinner. What are we doing? We're thanking. It's a Shema moment. We're thanking God because without him, this food would not be possible. Without him, my wife would not be gifted to be able to cook the way that she does. Without him, we would have nothing.
Yeah.
We would be impoverished. And so God is everything. And so these Shema statements drive us to be thankful. And so we need to do that, because more and more every day we need to worship. What's interesting is earlier this week I had read an article where they did a poll and they asked people why they went to church. And they had all kinds of reasons: the music, the children's program, the men's ministry, the women's ministry. Mark, you know what was missing from that list?
God.
Nobody said they go to church to worship.
Yeah.
Nobody on that list said, "We go to church to worship." They had the programs, they had the individual things, their proclivities, the things that they liked, their version. But nobody had, "We go to church to worship." And we need to be an upward-focused church that worships. The second thing is that we need to be an inward-focused church. You know, it says in Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to fellowship, that they loved one another. That's the Bible tells us 28 different times that we need to love one another. It's all the one another statements. Hebrews tells us in the 10th chapter, do not neglect the gathering of togethers. Spur one another on. Encourage one another. Philippians 2 says the same thing. Consider your brother above yourself. This idea that inwardly the church cares for one another, the church loves one another. And so we need to make sure that we do that. And by the way, every time the word devoted, the words, you know, like it says in Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to fellowship. Every time this idea of fellowship appears in the Bible, it usually is tied to sharing. It usually is tied to having things in common with people, whether sharing a tithe, whether sharing time, whether sharing gifts, whether sharing of themselves. It's always about bringing ourselves together. And so caring for one another. And lastly, is the church needs to be outwardly focused, which is the final words of the book of Acts, is that we need to realize that we have this good news message of Jesus Christ, and that our job, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I will be with you till the ends of the earth. By the way, it says in that passage, teaching them to obey. That passage right there, Matthew 28:18-20, gives us the whole of our upward, inward, and outward focus. And so I love how C.S. Lewis said in his book, The Four Loves, every Christian would agree that a man's spiritual health, we'd say a woman's spiritual health, the spiritual health of a believer is exactly proportional to his love for God. Mm-hmm. And so our spiritual health is based on our love for God. And our love for God is most evident in how we share the gospel. My going out, I challenged a group of folks on Monday night. I said, I believe that one of the great tests of our faith is sharing the gospel. Because sharing the gospel means that I believe Christ is worth believing in. I believe so much so that I'm going to walk across the room, I'm going to bump into you in line, I'm going to start an awkward conversation with you about Jesus Christ somewhere, because I believe that he is worth sharing, and this is the zinger, I believe they're worth saving. So now I'm loving my brother because I believe, and it's not just that I'm loving him like I want to be kind and I want to be nice and I want to be all those kinds of things, it's that I actually believe that their eternity matters more than anything else. I don't want to see, you know, I was listening with my wife yesterday. We were watching Southern Seminary had their chapel service online. And so we kind of, it was my day off, and we put it up on a TV and we were watching it. And the guy who was speaking, he made this comment. He said, 2.8 billion people in the world have not heard the gospel. 2.8 billion people in the world are going to hell because they've never heard about heaven. And we can do something about that. I mean, 2.8 billion people is a lot of people. That's a lot of neighbors and friends, people who live across the street and down the block from us. Mm-hmm. And we can make a difference in their life, but not the kind of difference that we're used to making, you know, where we wave hi when we drive by, or we have a cursory conversation about our kids, or we, you know, wave, you know, we see them as we go up and down the block, however we interact with them. We can have a conversation with them that actually changes the trajectory of their life, but not only their life, because the Bible is replete in moments where it says that it wasn't just the Father, but the Father's Father's Father. Hmm. And so when you believe in Jesus Christ, you don't just change your life. You begin to change the life of all the people around you and those who will come after you. Hmm. You begin to set a whole new trajectory. And so I want to make a difference like that. I think we need to make a difference as the church and as the people of God like that. And I really think that that's really what Paul believes, because that's how he ends the book of Acts. Hmm. He proclaimed the gospel boldly and without any hindrance. He didn't hesitate. He didn't hesitate. And why? Because he believed that Christ was worth sharing and that the people listening were worth saving. Hmm. And so I think we've got to take that in mind.
I like it. UIO. Upward, inward, and outward, everyone. That's the way we should live, and that's the way we would pray you would live today. If you missed a portion of the broadcast, stop by greatnewsradio.org and go to our archived programs page, and you can find the past 111 other programs on the Book of Acts. Actually, it was started almost about 2 3/4 years ago, even though we've done 112. That's been over 2 years. That would be 104. And then we had all those other special broadcasts and broadcasts from Israel and Christmas time. So probably it started about 2 1/2, 2 3/4 years ago. Almost 3 years ago, probably. So I'll have to look back.
We should have like a party or something.
Yeah, we will. We will. Because I think we're getting close to your 5 year? That cupcake I promised for a few years, that's got to come together.
No, it's a watch. I should get like a watch or something.
So, well, we'll see. Maybe it'll be one of those embroidered polo shirts, you know.
There you go.
All right, everyone. It's the weekend. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.